In the wee hours of March 22, 1942, the FBI and police broke down the doors of the Yamato Gambling Club in San Francisco. They arrested six men. Among them was the club's proprietor, Saima Yoshimura, a man both feared and respected in the Japanese community. Also nabbed was Yoshimura's bodyguard, Kiyoshi Ueda, a known gunman and a recently paroled murderer. Another collared was Mojiro Tanioka, who ran the Tokyo Club in Los Angeles. All confessed to being members of a secret society. Today, we'd recognize it as the Yakuza, or Japanese Mafia. But illicit gambling wasn't what brought the FBI knocking. Instead, the vice dens were a front for something bigger, more sinister. The FBI called it the ruthless and dreaded Black Dragon Society. Press reports described it as a nationalistic organization that aimed to inform the Japanese people of their rights to dominate the world. The San Francisco raid came just 2 weeks after Monogram Pictures rushed out the film Black Dragons. It starred Bela Lugosi and spun the lurid story of an insidious Japanese plot to replace America's leaders with Black Dragon-controlled doubles. In history, context is everything. The San Francisco raid also came less than 4 months after Pearl Harbor. And President Franklin Roosevelt had just signed Executive Order No. 9066, ordering the mass internment of Japanese and Japanese Americans living in California and other Western states. So it's easy to assume that these raids were just another manifestation of wartime hysteria and anti-Japanese hatred. But the Black Dragon Society wasn't the figment of some screenwriter's imagination, nor was it confined to San Francisco. The FBI investigation had started a month earlier. Dozens of Japanese gambling and social clubs were raided in California Valley towns such as Stockton and Lodi. There, too, the name of the notorious Black Dragon Society surfaced. The Black Dragons were very real. They enjoyed a close relationship with the criminal Yakuza. It was an understatement to call them nationalistic and no exaggeration to label them ruthless and dreaded. They were a secret society that exercised great influence in Imperial Japan, and they did much to steer Tokyo into World War II. Let's examine how that came to pass, how an entire country fell under the spell of a secret society, or maybe two. We'll go deeper into the shadows by examining the more mysterious Green Dragon Society. Were they the Black Dragon's masters, rivals, or some kind of evil twin? Did they exist at all? In the Green Dragons, we have another of those societies that inhabit the twilight zone between reality and imagination. Their origins, scope, and purpose are frustratingly vague. We'll also encounter some familiar names. Hitler's going to come up, along with Grigori Rasputin, black Muslims, and the fictional Asian arch-villain Fu Manchu. The story starts with the Japanese Meiji Restoration of 1868. That ended 250 years of feudal isolationism and started the crash transformation of Japan into a modern world power. As in any social upheaval, there were losers. In this case, the big losers were the samurai warrior aristocracy. While some samurai prospered under the new order, most saw their traditional privileges stripped away. Among other things, they lost the right to kill any commoner who offended them. An army of peasant conscripts replaced them as guardians of the nation. Some resentful samurai, including Mitsuru Toyama, formed a secret society called the Koyosha to foment a counter-revolution. The rebellions failed, leaving the samurai defeated and further marginalized. But out of the ruins, Toyama and some fellow samurai formed a new society in 1881. They named it Ginyosha, or the Dark Ocean. It styled itself as a patriotic fraternity. Toyama didn't want to overthrow the new government any longer. He wanted to control it. And so Ginyosha pledged undying loyalty to the emperor. The group believed that Japan had a divine mission to bring all of Asia under its sway, and woes betide anyone who got in the way. The Dark Ocean name wasn't chosen at random. It referred to the strait separating Japan from Korea, the nearest foothold on the Asian mainland. Mitsuru Toyama was Ginyosha's mastermind. He was a fanatic, but also a pragmatist. He brokered an alliance with Yakuza gangsters whose gambling, prostitution, and smuggling provided loads of untraceable cash. A Yakuza thug could be paid to do things a samurai might find beneath his dignity. Dark Ocean also cultivated influence among imperial officials who could provide protection. Toyama despised the civil government, but welcomed cabinet ministers and parliamentary deputies into his brotherhood. He also enrolled members of the Zaibatsu, Japan's emerging industrial elite. As Toyama's influence grew, he earned the nicknames Dark Side Emperor and Master Spy. To the Yakuza, he was the boss of bosses. In 1889, Ginyosha carried out his first political act, a bombing aimed at the foreign minister, Okuma Shigenobu. He signed some treaties Toyama didn't like. Shigenobu survived, but the point was made. Ginyosha was not to be ignored. Toyama focused first on Korea, which was then a weak hermit kingdom dominated by Manchu China. Ginyosha wanted to change that. The society dispatched 100 hand-picked agents to Korea to stir up revolution. When the Korean Queen Min looked like she might be an obstacle to Japanese ambitions, she was assassinated. In 1894, Toyama got what he really wanted, war with China. The brief Sino-Japanese War was a complete triumph for Tokyo. Victory was aided by intelligence from Ginyosha agents spread across China. But there was a new fly in the ointment, Russia. Russian-led pressure forced Japan to yield a hard-won foothold in Manchuria, the huge Chinese province bordering Korea. The Russians immediately moved in and started to build a railroad. The stage was now set for a new war. Toyama's growing power made him politically conscious. He decided to transform Ginyosha into a mainstream political organization. So in 1901, Toyama tapped a faithful follower, Rohei Uchida, to form a new secret society, the Kokurukai, or Black Dragon Society. Basically, it was created to take over clandestine operations, things like cooperation with the Yakuza and assassinations. Its boss, Uchida, especially appreciated the gangsters' growing chain of brothels. Not only did they generate income, but they also provided valuable intelligence, blackmail opportunities, and a means to push opium. The Black Dragon River, better known as the Amur, separated Manchuria from Russian Siberia. The dragons believed it was Japan's manifest destiny to expand control to the Black Dragon River and maybe beyond. The Russo-Japanese War broke out in 1904 and was fought in Manchuria. Black Dragon spies and saboteurs played an active part. A Japanese intelligence officer in Sweden, Colonel Motojiro Akashi, distributed money to Russian revolutionaries and dissident nationalists in a bid to weaken Russia. In doing so, Akashi helped spark the abortive Russian Revolution of 1905. Akashi wasn't a black dragon, but he was abetted by the society's operatives in Europe and Russia. It was impossible to say where the activities of the Black Dragons began and those of Tokyo's military intelligence left off. There's no better example than Black Dragon Kenji Doihara, who rose to become a general in the Imperial Army and a right-hand man of future military strongman Hideki Tojo. Doihara started his clandestine career wandering Korea as one of Toyama's agents, disguised as a humble peddler. After Russia's defeat, the Black Dragons turned back to China. Black Dragon agent and army officer Kenji Doihara aided the revolution brewing against the decrepit Manchu dynasty. The Manchus fell in 1911. The result wasn't peace and democracy for China, but 40 years of warlordism and civil war, just as the Black Dragons desired. Dragon operatives insinuated themselves into the entourages of future Chinese leaders Sun Yat-sen and Chiang Kai-shek. In league with the Yakuza and Chinese gangs, Doi Hara used opium to recruit agents and corrupt enemies. In the process, he became an addict himself. In 1928, he blew up troublesome Manchurian warlord Chung So-lin. 3 years later, Doi Hara used another bomb to engineer the so-called Mukden Incident, a false flag provocation that provided the excuse for Japan's invasion of Manchuria, another critical step towards World War II. Doi Hara made special use of a female agent, a gender-bending Manchu princess named Eastern Jewel, who was among the few female Black Dragons. Doi Hara used her to seduce the heir to the Manchu throne, Pu Yi, and convince him to become puppet emperor of Japanese Manchuria. All this intrigue earned Doi Hara the nickname Lawrence of Manchuria, a nod to Britain's Lawrence of Arabia. But in 1948, the Allies hanged him as a war criminal. Meanwhile, in Japan, the 1930s had ushered in the era of government by assassination, and a new secret society surfaced in 1932. Dubbed the League of Blood, its members murdered Finance Minister Junosuke Inoue and industrialist Dan Takuma. Both were outspoken pro-Westerners, especially pro-American. That same year, a group of young military officers killed Prime Minister Inukai Tsuyoshi and attacked other officials in a half-baked coup known as the May 15th incident. The original plan even called for assassinating film star Charlie Chaplin, who was visiting Japan at the time. Chaplin was seen as a nefarious foreign influence. The rebel officers all received light punishment for the attempted coup. The fix was in, and few doubted that the Black Dragons had a hand in it. Then, in 1936, another bunch of military conspirators staged the more serious 26th February incident. The Home Minister, Makoto Saito, was slaughtered, along with the Finance Minister and the Inspector General of Military Education. All were deemed unpatriotic pro-Westerners. This time, the plotters were severely punished. 19 ringleaders were hanged. But the real instigators, Toyama, his disciple Uchida, and their Black Dragons, remained untouchable. Japanese democracy had suffered a fatal blow. The following year, in 1937, the military launched a full-scale invasion of China, igniting a war that would eventually draw Japan into a confrontation with the United States. Once again, the Black Dragons got the war they wanted, but this time it would lead Imperial Japan to ruin. Uchida died in 1937 and never lived to see the debacle. Toyama, probably always the real master of the Black Dragons, held on until 1944. The Black Dragon Society was banned under the Allied occupation. But banning secret societies seldom works. A new Black Dragon Society appeared in 1961. Ostensibly, it was just a harmless martial arts society. But Black Dragon influence wasn't limited to Asia. Uchida created a worldwide organization. Black Dragon agents operated in Tibet, Mongolia, Central Asia, the Middle East, Morocco, and even Ethiopia. One fascinating example was Baron Roman von Ungern-Sternberg, a renegade Russian officer who briefly made himself master of Outer Mongolia with the help of the Black Dragons. Ungern was an ethnic German from the Baltics who combined a violent nature with a passion for Eastern mysticism. One acquaintance credited him with the most profound aptitude for the metaphysics of cruelty. Before World War I, Ungern converted to Buddhism, or something he called Buddhism. He formed a secret society in the Tsar's army called the Order of Military Buddhists. After the revolution, Ungern joined the anti-Bolshevik Whites and led a ragtag unit of cutthroats in Siberia called the Asiatic Cavalry Division. he expanded his politico-mystical horizons to embrace the idea of a vast pan-Mongol state that would rise from the ashes of the Russian and Chinese empires. In 1919, Ungern met a certain Captain Suzuki. Suzuki wasn't an emissary of the Japanese army, but rather of the Black Dragon Society, and maybe the Green Dragon. Captain Suzuki joined Ungern's command at the head of 50 picked Japanese fighters. For reasons unknown, the Baron accorded these warriors special status. Ungern's short-lived empire was crushed by the Soviets in 1921, and he was executed. One collaborator, Polish writer and spy Ferdinand Ossendowski, claimed Ungern even solicited help from the mythical subterranean realm of Agartha and its ruler, the King of the World. Japanese immigration to Brazil, Peru, and the United States brought along the Yakuza, and the Yakuza provided cover and support for the Black Dragons. Japanese businessmen, willingly or not, were also pressed into service. Espionage was the Dragon's main responsibility. But when necessary, they carried out sedition, sabotage, and assassination. After World War I, the Black Dragons saw America as Japan's new number one enemy, and they saw racism as America's Achilles heel. In 1920, a Black Dragon agent named Yusichi Hakita made contact in New York with black nationalists who advocated political and economic autonomy for African Americans. Hakita believed that racial discrimination made African Americans open to influence. Black Dragon propaganda claimed that Japan was the great champion of all colored peoples against white oppression. This theme would be exploited with some success by another Black Dragon operative who appeared in Chicago in 1932. He called himself Colonel Satokata Takahashi. Who he really was is uncertain. He'd earlier immigrated to Canada under the name of Naka Nakanune. He disappeared from his Tacoma, Washington home in 1926, later resurfacing in Chicago and Detroit. In those cities, he cultivated black separatist organizations such as the Universal Negro Improvement Association and the new Nation of Islam. The Little Colonel, as Takahashi was nicknamed, formed a close relationship with Nation of Islam leader Elijah Muhammad. And he was the guiding hand behind two other organizations, the Society for the Development of Our Own and the Pacific Movement of the Eastern World. These targeted disaffected African Americans and preached that Japan was the champion of non-whites. Takahashi had two helpers. One, Ashima Takis, pretended to be Japanese. He actually was a Filipino-American named Policarpio Manansala. The other was a supposed Chinese aristocrat, Moy Liang. The Pacific Movement of the Eastern World picked up followers from Detroit to St. Louis. Federal agents took note. In April 1934, immigration authorities deported Takahashi to Japan. He wasn't gone long. That August, he returned to Canada as Naka Nakanune. For the next 5 years, he secretly directed the Pacific Movement from north of the border. Then, in 1939, he snuck back into the United States using yet another alias, Hisazi Kubo. Federal agents tracked him down. And when Pearl Harbor was bombed, Colonel Takahashi was sitting in prison for immigration violation. In July 1942, FBI agents also picked up Ashima Takis. He spilled the beans about the Black Dragon link to the Pacific Movement and the black Muslims. 2 months later, the FBI rounded up 85 African Americans in Chicago. One was black Muslim leader Elijah Muhammad. Labeled Takahashi's Blacks, a dozen men were charged with sedition and the rest with draft evasion. The Black Dragon Society is an open book compared to the more elusive Green Dragon Society. The big question about the Green Dragons is whether they existed at all. A key bit of evidence appears in the memoir of one of Chiang Kai-shek's wives, Chen Chih-ju. She recalled that her husband wanted to create a secret system of private investigators modeled on the Green and Black Dragon Societies of Japan. The Green and Black Societies also furnished Chang with money. So she clearly distinguishes two societies, and both seem to be involved in political intrigue. But why have two secret societies doing the same thing? And which came first, Green or Black? Some propose that the true origins of the Green Dragons lay in China or Tibet. It's also claimed that unlike the Black Dragons, the Greens didn't deal in political action, but in occult influence. Arguably, they were parallel societies, pursuing the same ends by different means. The Green Dragons, like the Black, operated globally. Their reach supposedly extended to Tsarist Russia and Nazi Germany. Emperor Hirohito, Adolf Hitler, and Rasputin have been tied to them, fairly or not. The earliest and maybe most intriguing mention of the Green Dragon Society is the 1933 French novel Les Sept Têtes du Dragon Vert, or The Seven Heads of the Green Dragon. It's a play on the dragon of seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns mentioned in the book of Revelation. Except the biblical dragon is red, not green. This French novel is pulp fiction, but chock full of real people and real events. The author, Teddy LeGrand, is a pseudonym. His real identity is disputed. Some say he was Pierre Mariel, a self-proclaimed expert on the occult. However, more likely, he was Javier de Hautecloque, a journalist and French spy. Hautecloque died mysteriously in 1935, poisoned on a trip to Nazi Germany. Regardless, the book portrays the Green Dragon as a shadowy sect bent on world domination. It was allegedly run by 72 secret masters, a number identical to the 72 unknown superiors revered by various occult orders. To achieve their nefarious aims, these unseen masters generated war, revolution, and chaos. Seven Heads of the Green Dragon claims that the Green's invisible hand was behind the assassination of Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand in 1914, as well as the Bolshevik Revolution and the murder of the Romanovs, the 1922 assassination of German Foreign Minister Walter Rathenau, and the 1932 death of Swedish industrialist Ivar Kruger. A French secret society, the Martinist Order, is named as a tool of the Green Dragon. Founded in the 1880s, the Martinists were a very real offshoot of Rosicrucianism, with a very real taste for political intrigue. The book's story is set in 1929-1930. The mysterious Greens are then facilitating the rise of Adolf Hitler. The tale's hero is a British secret agent named James Nobody. His attention is first drawn to an icon found on the body of the late Russian Empress Alexandra. It bears a cryptic inscription, S-I-M-P, the Green Dragon, you are absolutely right, too late. The S-I-M-P turns out to stand for Superior Inconnu Maître Philippe, Unknown Superior, Master Philippe. Was Master Philippe one of the 72? Regardless, Philippe was a French occultist and an early spiritual guide of the Empress Alexandra. Her later advisor, the infamous Grigory Rasputin, was also linked to a mysterious group called the Greens. Russian researcher Oleg Shishkin identifies Rasputin's Greens as the Baltic German occult lodge called Balticum. Their symbol was a green swastika. Of course, the Baltic was the same place Baron Ungern was from. Another Green Dragon agent identified in the book is Baltic Baron Otto von Bautenus. Bautenus was real and a member of Balticum. The story culminates in Berlin, where Agent Nobody comes face to face with the so-called man with the green gloves. He's described as an Asian who looks like a living statue, yet is able to converse in excellent Oxford English. James Nobody concludes that the Green Dragon is nothing less than a vast conspiracy against the white race and Western civilization, with a grand plan to restore East Asia as the center of the world. So if you were wondering where we were going to cross over into timeless Asiatic evil Fu Manchu territory, we just did. The Green Dragons pop up later in British author Trevor Ravenscroft's 1973 book, The Spear of Destiny. Appropriately, Ravenscroft was a secret society initiate. He was a follower of Anthroposophy, a mystical movement founded by an Austrian philosopher and occultist named Rudolf Steiner. Steiner despised the Nazis. So Ravenscroft obligingly portrays Hitler as a pawn of dark forces. Ravenscroft connects the Green Dragon to one of Hitler's early mentors, German geopolitician Karl Haushofer. Haushofer was indeed well-versed in the occult, and he'd spent years as a military attaché in Tokyo. Haushofer, according to Ravenscroft, gained extraordinary gifts through membership of the Green Dragon Society of Japan, in which the mastery of the time organism and the control of the life forces in the human body is the central aim of ascending degrees of initiation. Whatever that means. Ravenscroft claimed that the Green Dragon's origins stretched all the way back to Atlantis. Also, he insisted only two other Europeans had been permitted to join this Japanese order, which demands oaths of secrecy and obedience of far more strict and uncompromising nature than similar secret societies in the Western world. You have to wonder, who were the other two? A very similar tale appears in German author Wolf Schwarzwaller's 1989 book, The Unknown Hitler. Schwarzwaller claims that the aforementioned Karl Haushofer was a master of Eastern mystical traditions who'd familiarized himself with the Zen teachings of the Japanese Society of the Green Dragon. The big problem with Ravenscroft and Schwarzwaller is that their sources are hazy to non-existent. Ravenscroft seems to have gotten some of his ideas from an equally vague 1960 book, The Morning of the Magicians, by the French journalists Louis Pauwels and Jacques Bergier. They don't mention the Green Dragon by name, but do state that Haushofer is said to have been initiated into one of the most important secret Buddhist societies and to have been sworn, if he failed in his mission, to commit suicide in accordance with the time-honored ceremonial. For what it's worth, Haushofer did kill himself in 1946 by drinking arsenic. Ravenscroft also claims that the Green Dragon Society set up shop in 1920s Germany. It supposedly joined forces with a group of Tibetan monks called the Society of Green Men. The leader of these Tibetans was a mysterious man with the green gloves, the same name as the mysterious figure in Teddy LeGrand's novel. In Ravenscroft's version, Mr. Green Gloves is supposedly a representative of the Adepts of Agartha and their King of the World. Ravenscroft also claimed the Green Dragons and the Green Men had been in astral communication for hundreds of years. In the 20s, they joined forces to guide Herr Hitler. There actually was a figure in Weimar Germany sometimes called the Magician with the Green Gloves. He wasn't a Tibetan, but rather a Jewish mind reader and astrologer named Erich Jan Honnesson. Honnesson also briefly served as soothsayer for Hitler and the Nazi Party. When he became inconvenient by predicting or arranging the 1933 Reichstag fire, his Nazi pals killed him. Or might it have been the Green Dragon? Others see the Green Dragons as the inner cabal of Genyosha and the Black Dragons. I wonder if just as Mitsuru Toyama spun off the Black Dragons to handle political intrigue, he invented the Greens to handle mystical skullduggery. A Buddhist connection makes some sense. A revered Buddhist figure in Japan is a medieval monk called Hukai, who studied at the Green Dragon Temple in China. There, the story goes, Hukai was trained in occult and tantric doctrines from Tibet. And does it mean anything that the Chinese nationalist leader Chiang Kai-shek later took refuge in the same Green Dragon Temple? Today you can find many Green Dragon societies. Most are linked to the martial arts. Green Dragon Kung Fu groups exist throughout the world. Still others link the Green Dragon to a Chinese Taoist secret society dating back to the 17th century. It had implacable hatred for the Manchu dynasty, which it battled using Taoist alchemy and immortalist techniques. That sounds a little like what Ravenscroft described. Finally, a green society or green gang was, and arguably still is, a major force in the Chinese underworld. Was their relationship to the green dragon similar to the Yakuza's with the black dragon? Fantastic, certainly. True? Well, maybe. But remember that the destruction of European hegemony and the creation of a vast Asiatic empire dominated by Japan was the ultimate goal of men like Toyama and Uchida. Which brings us back to the question of whether the green and black dragons were simply two heads of the same beast, one ruthless and political, the other subtle and esoteric. Regardless, in Japan, at least one secret society, the Black Dragons, influenced that nation's destiny and thereby the world's. Well, it's probably too much to argue that the Black Dragon Society single-handedly pushed Japan into fanaticism, militarism, and a devastating war. It unquestionably played a part. Secret societies promote beliefs. Beliefs guide actions, and actions have consequences. And if it happened in Japan, it could and will happen elsewhere.